message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
Thank you for being here this morning. What a great time of worship this morning. Take your Bibles to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, whether you have a copy of God's Word, the paper version, or whether you use it on your phone or your tablet, we encourage you to turn there. We were in this psalm last week. We just got through verse 1 last week to really understand the beginning of what this is. This is our memory verse for this month. October is our month of missions, as many of you have been praying about what to give to missions sacrificially. We've had the wonderful privilege to be able to Skype with some different missionaries, to be able to hear from them and to see what God is doing in their particular areas of ministry, people that we've partnered with. So it's been a great joy to be able to see some of those. And Psalm 67, I want to be able to continue that today so we can unpack why God blesses His people. We learned last week that we're not simply blessed just for ourselves, just so that we can be cushioned, that we can be comfortable. We learned in verse 1 of Psalm 67 that the Lord, this cry that was from the people of Israel was for God to bless them so that they could make His name known to the nations. Let me put it in context for you. This is the people of Israel. They've come out of exile. They're back in Israel. They're able to build the temple. We see that in Ezra. We see it in Nehemiah. But understand, they're still under Persian rule. They are not a monarchy any longer. They are not a theocracy any longer. They have a government that is over them. And so literally the nations are around them. It lives there. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, and the people who were there. And so as they look around, their home is not the same anymore. And they're begging God to bless them so they can make His name known to the people. Now, we learned last week that this prayer is not just so that God would bless us, so that people would look at us just to see how good we have it. We learned last week that if we do that, then everybody's going to come to the Lord. Hey, I mean, choose God because my life's going to get cushioned and rich and wealthy and famous. Really, sometimes it's actually in our difficult times where God shines the brightest to those around us who don't know Christ. When we're going through tragedy and difficulty and sorrow and job loss and sicknesses and disease. And then it's in those moments where our faith keeps us clinging to Christ and to God. And it's in those moments that people look and say, how are you able? And it's in those moments we get to brag on God. For you see, that's actually a blessing. That's what we're talking about. Don't think of blessings just financially here. When God blesses you with supernatural power and strength and endurance and perseverance and ability, that's a blessing that He comes to us so that we can make His name known even when things are difficult. We learned last week that when we saw in Psalm 67, 1, let's just read that verse so we can see where we were last week. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. We saw that what that meant when it says His face is upon us is when God's favor was on us. We saw and learned last week that when His face is not upon us, and then when it was not upon the people of Israel, things were not good. We as a church, God is blessing us. His face is upon us, and we're thankful for that. We would never want to get to the point where we think it's because of ourselves, that we would never want to think it's because of what we've done. We would always want to give the credit back to the Lord. If we get to the point that we think it's because of us, just wait for a period of time, and God will wake you up to help you realize it's not because of us. He'll get our attention once again. Now, we look at this, and we're talking about missions, and most of us, sometimes, in Christianity, we think of missions always as other places. It is a both and. There is this need for us to be missional in our lifestyle, not just to go on a mission trip. How much it is in the trips that I've led here, when we've been to Guatemala for 2 years, we've been to Canada for 2 different years, and helped plant a church up there. That, man, we pray with fervency leading up to those times, praying for preparation, praying for guidance, praying for His hand. How much more so would it be if we live like that every day? Just praying with fervency and urgency that when we're living, when we're parenting, when we're just doing our regular routine lives, that we realize that I am an alien in a strange land. This is not our home as Christians. Heaven is our home, and we're just simply sojourners passing through. And we have to beg God to help us have that mentality, because we get caught up with the mundane of society. We get caught up with the routines of life, of just living, doing dishes and the laundry piling up, and you get it done and it piles up again, and you just wish that there was this miracle genie that would show up and just do it for you. And you get caught up in all that stuff. Apparently there's only a few people laughing, because some of you else aren't folding clothes, are you? The mundane just fills our lives, and sometimes we get so wrapped up in that that we just lose sight of why we're here. What God's called us to do. We get caught up in, I got to pay this bill. I got to be able to get the car fixed. I got to get the oil changed. And even in that, we lose sight that maybe even in the mundane is where God can use us to be missional. Missions is not just overseas. It is here. It is a both and. God doesn't call every person to go overseas. And what we're learning in Psalm 67 in the month of missions is that we need both. We need to be missional. We need to live on mission here. We need people to go on short-term trips like we're going to do in March to East Asia, Southeast Asia, to help support some of the people that we support, to go alongside of them and to assist them. But there is a need for people to go to the places that have yet to be reached for the gospel. Let me give you some statistics just to bring it into perspective for you. The population of our world is around 7 billion people. Of those, of that population, according to Christian groups that kind of figure out and try to determine how many people are unreached people groups, there's over 3,000 unreached people groups. That's not 3,000 people, that's 3,000 people groups, which equal to almost 3 billion people who are unreached, who've not heard the gospel. That's almost half of our world. And so when we are in our city, our town, we sometimes lose the need for the urgency for some people to go and share the gospel. Certainly the world is coming to us as well. But there is a need to be able to go. You say, well, what about for us? If you say, God's not called me. Let me just give it perspective for you for the North America, for our United States. There's 324 million people in the United States. 10.7 million of those people are considered unreached and have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in the United States of America. You may think, well, everybody's heard about the gospel. Listen to me. Many people have heard of God and heard Jesus, but haven't heard the gospel. Liz's own parents, who grew up in a particular denomination, heard about God, heard about Jesus, but it wasn't until they were later in life, in their 20s, when finally someone sat down and shared the gospel with them. And praise the Lord, they believed. The point is this. You can't assume that just because that you are on a neighborhood, for example, or in a workplace where people use the name God and use the name Jesus, that they know the gospel. We can't live that way. If we live with assumptions, we can live with the assumption that someone has knowledge but not been saved. So understand, the most important blessing out of Psalm 67, Lord, may be gracious to us and bless us. The most important blessing is that you know God. That's the most important thing. You don't necessarily have to have a wealth pile to be able to make His name known. You just need to be able to speak. And last time I looked and learned, it didn't cost any money to talk. So Psalm 67, as we will see this morning, we're going to continue and go from verse 2 through the psalm of why the Lord blesses us. So let's read this psalm and together this morning and see what the Lord has for us this morning and challenging you. I pray that you're continuing to pray what the Lord wants you to give to missions so far. We've had a little over $1,200 just given this month towards missions. Let me encourage you, we've got a couple of weeks left in the month of October. Let's pray and give sacrificially for the sake of His name being known across the world. Psalm 67, 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. You see, we tackled the first reason for God's blessing. Last week, we talked the request for God's blessing. We walked through that in verse 1. And then we began to go into the reason for God's blessing. And we began to tap the very first one, which was that people could know Him. There's four particular things that are right here in this text I want to show you this morning. There's four things, the reason, the request, the reason for God's blessing. Number one, we'll give them all four to you, and then we're going to go back and unpack them. Number one, you see it there in verse 2. The reason why we're praying for this is that people will know God. Look at it. It's so we're praying this, that your way may be known. Verse 3, what's the prayer request? Is so that people will praise God. Number 3, verse 4, is so that people will enjoy God. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And the fourth one is down in verse 7. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. So the reason that we're praying for God's blessings is so that the nations can know God, so the nations can praise God, so the nations can enjoy God, and the nations can fear God. That's why we shared the gospel. That's why we share it with people. Because people, there's this assumption that we presume that people don't know God. And if they don't know God, they can't praise God. If they don't know God, they can't enjoy God. If they don't know God, they can't fear God. So the psalmist actually lays it out for us in the proper order that people need to know Him. So let's walk our way through. We looked at this know God just a little bit last week. I want to hit that very quickly for us and then move to the last three. When we make sure that we're all on the same page, the reason why we're praying this is so the nations can know God is understanding this word knowing God is not just simply cognitive, knowing about Him. It is experiencing Him in a relationship with Him. When you get saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. You meet Him. It's like having someone tell you about a particular figure. They can describe that person to you. But until you meet that person in person, then you haven't really known that person. And so there's this understanding for us is that we go to people, we need to tell them about Him so they can know Him. Now understand what's implied here is to be able to tell people God, you need to know God yourself. And the more that we walk with God, the more that we know God, the more that we are able to tell people about God, not just simply quoting Scripture to them, but we're telling people about God because He's changed us. We're talking to Him how He's helped us through difficulty. We're talking to people how God's redeemed us out of our lostness. We're talking to people about God, of how He sustains us. We're telling people about a God that's not far removed. We're telling the people about a God who is in us and who has changed us. Big difference. So we're saying that we want them to know Him. I want you to see God's desire. Look with me to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 and 6. I want you to see the desire for the Lord, for people to know Him. Isaiah 45. Let's begin in verse 4 through verse 6. God's desire for people to know Him. This is Him talking again to the people of Judah when they were coming out of Persian exile, being allowed to go back into Israel. Isaiah giving us this text in Isaiah 45, verse 4. For the sake of my servant Jacob. And that's a term that's used in the Old Testament when they would use Jacob that would refer to the tribe of Judah, basically the southern people of Israel. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me. Why? That people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Do you hear God's desire? As He's saying, He's blessing the people. He said, I'm blessing you. You didn't know me, but I called you out of darkness. None of us in this room who know God can brag that it's because of us. We know Him because He reached us. reached and pulled us out of darkness. And what Isaiah is telling us from what God said to the people is, I have blessed you. I have called you when you didn't even know me. And I did it not just so you can sit on a log and just cruise through life. I did it so that people could know me through you. Now, believer, listen to me. You're not here to suck oxygen until you hit the grave. You're here to proclaim the goodness and the glory of God. And we do it not out of mundaneness. We don't do it out of obligation. Let me tell you something. If you get to where you've known God, then you want people who don't know God to know Him. Because He's changed you. He's filled you. He's given you all those other reasons. He's given you praise. He's given you joy. He's given you fear. So you want the people who don't know that, or who people that they think that they know that, you want them to have their cloudiness removed, and you want the Spirit of God to move and work and bring them praise and joy in their life, because you know only God does it. So the fact that you're sitting here this morning, the fact that you know God, give Him praise right now. That you know Him. That you live in a time and a life where you've been privileged to know Him. I remember a story from my Greek professor. He was a missionary to South Korea for many years. He now is a professor at the seminary. And he worked there for many years. And for those of you who don't know much about the history of South Korea, there was a time that South Korea was not a place where the gospel was pervasive. It was a dark place. But God brought a revival in South Korea. It is phenomenal. They have places called prayer caves where believers will just go and hide away for weeks at a time just to be with God and pray. I flew into South Korea just as a layover one time, as it was nighttime, driving. And I kept seeing these things way off in the distance that were faint. And I was asking the missionary who was taking us, what is that? And he said, those are crosses. Crosses lit up all over the place. But the missionary had told us a story about a man who lived there, who had come to faith in Christ. And he approached the missionary and he said, why now? What about all the generations before us who didn't know? I'm asking you that question. Why now? Why do you know? I can't, and you can't, move back in time to go to places who haven't heard yet. But we can live with urgency now. And we can be missional now. And we know that God has made Himself known to us now, so that we will go with urgency, go with zeal, and go with passion to live for the sake of those who've yet to know. But let me make it clear to you. None of us in this room can save anyone. It's a work of God. But God uses people. He uses hands and feet. He used mouths to speak. Romans tells us in Romans 10:14, how can they believe unless someone goes and preaches the gospel to them? God is the one who saves, but He uses the gospel when it's preached, and He brings deadness. He brings dead people to life simply by the power of the gospel. You and I would want to see the people saved. And I want to see the town of Lacombe be changed. And I want to see the North Shore be reached. But you know what? We can sit in this room. We can pray for it zealously and urgently. But we got to go. We have to talk. We have to speak. We have to be the hands and the feet. And I'm telling you, the Lord will bring a harvest to people who will go. I've seen it happen. I saw a church in North Alabama praying, going, and they grew. Because the gospel was being proclaimed. They weren't just begging God. They were going and talking to people that they had been praying for. You see, prayer is the motor to the power of the gospel being going. So when we're praying, we're interceding and we're praying ahead. Lord, the people that we're going to go to, for example, when we do outreach, we're praying before we go. God, before we go knock on these doors, will you prepare the hearts for these people so that when we go and knock on those hearts, that you'd remove distractions, you'd make the seed of the gospel take root so they can hear it. We're praying and interceding. Folks, I want people to know him. I want him to be changed. And see, what I see, not just in this room, but I see it in this room and I see it in the new facility, people who have been radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that when we're singing songs like that song that we just sang, understand that love ran red, understand that without God I was nothing. So then we're standing there and they're hearing the truth that has changed them, and they're standing before God as a person who was once filthy and now standing clean, that they're worshiping Almighty God because someone from Redemption Church proclaimed the gospel to them. That's what I see. So he blesses us so the people will know him. But notice the two things that are there real quickly. I said I was going to go quickly through the psalm. I promise I'm trying. That your way may be known. So the two things. That your way may be known and your saving power. Understand this. The way is not subjective. The way is objective. Meaning, we want people to know his way. His saving power. We live in a society of subjectivism. Being subjective. Meaning, what I think is right is okay. What you think is right is okay. So when we go and tell people about God, we have this mentality. Say, well, I don't want to infringe upon their space. I don't want to infringe upon their belief system. You've got to infringe upon that. You've got to proclaim what's truth. Why? Because you know that you have the way. They don't have the way. The way Satan works is this way. He makes you think that whatever way you're doing is right. So when you're lost, or even if you're lost and you think that you're saved, he makes you think that what you've been doing is right. And so our desire is, God bless us so that we can go and we can invade and blow up someone's wrong understanding of the way. And showed them the right way. That this is the way. God's way. Listen, it was something he had to lay out for the people of Israel all the time. Let me show an example of this. Look with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Even the people of Israel at times would wander from the way of what was true, what was right. What's the point in this? We're not just asking God to bless us and we get to proclaim what we think is right. Listen, we're not just proclaiming socialism. We're not just proclaiming social gospel, meaning we're not just to give food through our compassion ministry, food ministry. We're not just giving clothes from our compassion ministry, clothes ministry. That's just social gospel. Those are means to proclaim the way of God. And so we understand that we don't just do that and think that that's okay. No, what we proclaim is the way, God's way. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God? This is Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. The Lord gave a very clear instruction and said, look, Israel, what you got to walk in is my ways, not yours. Now understand, as long as we're in this robe of flesh, our way is always going to crop itself up. Even as believers, our way, our want, our flesh crops up. But it's only God's way that saves. So we're proclaiming we want people to know him. We're asking the Lord to bless us so that we can help people know God so that his way can be known. And what's the other thing? It's also, look back there at Psalm 67. Moving through the rest of this verse so we'll get to the rest of the psalm. That your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. The desire is so that people can be saved. You know, it's amazing if you think about it this way. The way helps people to realize that they're lost. So they can understand that they need saving. Think of it this way. The law that was in the Old Testament never saved anyone. The law, still to this day, helps us to see that we're lost. And helps us to see that we need saving. You just walk through the commandments and you ask people, What's the first one? Anybody know the first commandment? Okay, I know the next series we're going to preach on. Have no other gods before me. You used to ask people, what do you love? You always love God first? What have you put first? You walk on down. Go to the fifth commandment. Have you always honored your father and your mother? You begin to find out. You begin to ask them, say, well, have you ever stolen anything? You ever lied? You ever looked at anything with lustful intent? You begin to weigh with them under God's standard that we are guilty. That's the way. To understand, to say the law, to say, you, look, this is God's way. God's way is you got to do it according to His plan. When you lay it out, what we've been trying to do doesn't work. And so you let Him know what's His way. The way is that He's given you salvation. He's given you an option. He's given you the purpose plan through Jesus Christ. And so when we say, Lord, may You bless us so that people can know You. They want to know the way and the saving power. What that means is what people are doing isn't going to get them there. This past week, another one of my cashier stories. I think that's going to be like on my tombstone. Going through the line at Sam's, talking to this young man. He didn't look Hispanic to me, but his name was Jose. So I'm like, I'm kind of guessing, like, is that Jose? Is that Josie? I don't know. I want to make sure I'm calling you right. You know. So it's Jose, you know, talking to him and just sharing the God very quickly. Hey, man. How's your day going? Hey, you actually involved in a church somewhere? And he told me where he was. And I said, well, do you know for certain that if you die, you're going to spend eternity in heaven? Oh, I'm doing everything the best that I can to get there. Wrong answer. And just quickly, you see, he's going by his way, not God's way. And he needs to know the saving power. And just very quickly, I was able to share the gospel with Jose. Folks, there are people all around us. And that's a guy who's going to a church. And he thinks what he can do is going to get him there. What I'm trying to help you to see is church, redemption, family. Open the eyes to the people around you and don't live with the assumption that everybody knows the way. God has blessed us and He's blessed you so that you know. Let Him know the way. What's the second reason? The second reason that we're praying is right there in verse 3. We pray that the Lord will bless us so that the peoples will praise God. Look at verse 3. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. You know what that implies? It means they're praising the wrong things. It means they're praising things that's not giving life and hope. Let me show this to you as an example. Turn to Psalm 115. You're in Psalm 67. Go to Psalm 115. I want you to see this and the way it is. For the people who are across the world, the people who are in your own neighborhood or workplace that is following their own way, the Bible tells us that they become like the thing that they follow. Psalm 115. Verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory. For the sake of Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Their idols. Put another word in there. Their gods. Are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. Eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel. Feet but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Do you hear verse 8? You become what you worship. You become what you praise. So the peoples and the people groups who are in different parts of the world who are worshiping false gods or worshiping what they think, they are like what they have been worshiping. And we look at them and say, why are they that way? They're doing what they have been taught for generation upon generation upon generation. And they're following their way. They have become like those things that they are worshiping, even those false creation of images in their mind, those false deisms that they are bowing down to. And so where do we come into that picture? We come into the picture and we begin to introduce the truth. We begin to introduce the way, and we have to trust the power of God to be able to help them to understand that there's not just multiple ways, but there's one way. Listen to me. If there were multiple ways, missions would be in vain. Understand why I'm saying. If there is one way, missions is necessary. If there are multiple ways and we go in and say this is the right way, then it's simply subjective. There is a need for missions. As I've said this before, I love it what John Piper says in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad. He says, missions exist because worship doesn't exist. Because people are not praising God. They're praising their own thing. Look around you. You don't have to go to a third world country to see people praising their own thing. I am a fan of sports. But people raise their hands to a sports club much quicker than they will raise their hands to God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Keep reading verse 9 of Psalm 115. O Israel, still in Psalm 115 verse 9, O Israel, trust in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us, He will bless us, He will bless the house of Israel, He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He has given to the children of man. Notice verse 17. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Let that sink in. When they're in the grave, the chance for repentance is over. The dead will not praise you. Now bring it back to Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us so that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power upon the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. We're praying for the blessing so that we can make His name known. I believe that if a church is very missional minded, I believe the church will pour out His blessings because they're using the funds to be able to make His name known. May we pray that He blesses us, not so we just stock it up, but so that we use it to make His name known for the sake of God. Now, what's the third reason? Look like Psalm 67. We've said that we're praying for His blessing so that people could know Him, so people could praise Him, but also so the nations will enjoy Him. Look at verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Now, it's not just a prayer. There's a reason why we're praying this. There's two reasons. It's there in verse 4. Notice the wording that's here. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. What's the next word in your Bible? For. So here's the reason that they're praying and why the nations will enjoy God. Here's the first one. For you judge the people with equity, which means that God is going to be the judge and He's going to judge not partially, but impartially. He's going to be a just God. What's the second reason? And so put it together, verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? Because they know that God's going to be a just God. And secondly, He guides the nations upon the earth. Now listen, those things don't make a lost person happy. A lost person is not rejoicing that God is a just God. A lost person is not rejoicing that God guides the earth. Again, what are you proclaiming? You're proclaiming the way of God. Part of what we proclaim is this, that one day when every person dies, they're going to stand before God as what? Judge. When you came to saving faith, you may not have had the holistic understanding of all of the salvation story. Maybe you understood that you were lost. Maybe you understood that Jesus died for you. But maybe you learn later that it's only by God's grace that you were saved. And absent of that, you were going to stand before Him and you were going to face an impending judgment of death and separation from Him. When you learn that as a Christian, you know what happens to you? What should happen to you? You should enjoy the fact that God has saved you from that. Amen. That you should rejoice. Like it says in Romans 2:5, that if I have not repented, I am storing up wrath for the day of wrath. So when I talk to people, when they're lost, I'm helping them to understand, look, if you live the way that you're living, you're going to stand before God. He's a just God. And so the reason why we say, Lord, bless us, we want them to know God. And so when someone gets saved and they begin to realize that they've been saved from the justice and the wrath of God, and that Christ is the one who took that punishment, that Christ was the redemption for them, and it begins to sink in the Spirit of God, helps them to understand it. What happens is jubilation. They begin to realize that they've been on a course headed for hell, headed for wrath, and God is saving them. That makes a person to enjoy Him. And some of us have forgotten how blessed we are because we were all on that road. And God, by His grace, helped us to be saved and to understand and be redeemed from that. To enjoy God, it comes from the fact that we share the truth. You know what that means? Sharing the gospel means that you have to speak hard truths to lost people. Let me say it again. Sharing the gospel means that you have to speak hard truths to lost people. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Then you're never going to share the gospel. Now, you can be rude, and you can be like that church from Kansas that posts signs and pickets places and have terrible ethics in the way by which and their methods of sharing the gospel. You don't go screaming in someone's face and tell them they're going to die and go to hell. You do it like Jesus did, and you love people. But Jesus spoke truth to the people who needed it. You have to realize, where would you be if someone didn't speak truth to you? We would still be in our own way, not enjoying the grace and the redemption of God. See people on two paths. Either they are on the path towards God, or on the path towards hell. You see, for those who are in Christ, when we stand before God, our eternity is sealed in heaven. We stand before God for what we've done with His Son. We stand before God with what we have, how we have lived. We'll stand before God before our works. But those who have yet to repent and believe will stand before Him and face the eternal judgment statement that says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." I want us to be faithful, to proclaim His gospel right here in Lacombe. Dwell in the land, as we talked about at 9 o'clock in Psalm 37, verse 4. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Let's just be faithful here. Faithful here. Listen, we're not going to all pick up and move and go to Beijing, China, and all share the gospel there. God's placed us here. He's planted us here for a reason, to make His name brightly known. For you see, what happens is people think they're actually enjoying things. But what happens in this world? Let me just take you down a road. How many have ever bought something and it made you joyful? No one's been joyful by buying something. All right, let me ask the kids the question. Kids in the room, how many of you like new toys? That's what I was saying. You get those new toys? Did y'all enjoy those new toys? This is yes. Of course you do. Of course you do. We enjoy those things. What happens after about 6 months to a year I'll just use the kids since the parents aren't answering. Darlene's like, we'll answer. Regardless if it's a kid or if it's an adult, we buy something, we like that for a period of time. We kind of get enamored with that, and pretty soon that the newness wears off. The joy wears off. Especially wears off if it comes with a heavy price tag and the payment book comes in or the mortgage note payment comes in and you're like, oh, I have to pay for this. That's called life. What happens is, and that's a very simplistic illustration to prove the point. All across the world, people find joy in their little gods. But there's always an emptiness after that joy for whatever that is goes away. Searching for hope and life. And we're praying, God, may you be gracious to us and bless us so that we can make your name known. Why? So they can enjoy you. How many of us really enjoyed life before Christ? The Bible tells us in Hebrews there's joy in sin for a season. Some of you had fun sinning. But it doesn't last. The high goes away. The drunken stupor wakes you up with a headache. The pills that you're trying to buy, they satisfy for a while, but then you have to keep escalating over and over and getting higher and higher and getting a harder drug, and it costs you more money. And the joy that you had, you're still seeking. You're seeking something that can be found in God. And so when we're talking about proclaiming the gospel means you'll speak hard truth, sometimes you have to tell people what they're doing is sinful and it's wrong and it's not offering the joy that God can give. Now, if you're telling that person and you've got a straight face, you need God because He's awesome. Do you want that kind of God? This is what I'm saying as a part of our mission statement is we exist to delight in God. Maybe where we need to begin is to make certain that our delight is in Almighty God. Because if we're enjoying Him, then when we talk to people, it's not superficial. It's not some memorized thing that we're just trying to repeat. We're talking to people about a God who's changed us. Church, that's what I want. I want God to change me every day because I want to praise Him. I want to know Him more. I want to enjoy Him so that when I talk to people, I want to talk to them about a God who is continually saving my life, changing my life, filling me with joy. And I want them to realize that the path that they're on is heading them away from all of those things. Psalm 67 tells us that the reason that they can enjoy Him is because they learn about His judgment. But also, notice verse 4. They not only learn about His judgment, they also learn that He is the God. You say, what does that mean? Look at it, verse 4 again. Let the nations be glad, sing for joy. Why? For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. What does that mean? How is it that someone could enjoy God when they learn that He is a God? What this means is this. When a person is lost, they think that they're in control of their life. They think that what they're doing is right. Take it, for example, for someone who is in a culture that is oppressive. Take it in someone that's in a culture that's opposed to Christianity, where there's fighting, where there's war. Christians are being persecuted, for example, like in North Korea, in Vietnam. And when that person hears the gospel, they realize that the physical powers that are above them are the earthly powers, but when they come to faith in Christ, they can realize that the sovereign God is still in control, guiding all things. For you see, when we're lost, we think we've got it. And then when you get saved, you realize that God is the one who holds it all together, as He says in Colossians 1:17. There's not one thing, not one particle, not one atom that exists in this world outside of the hand, sovereign control of God. So when someone comes to faith in Christ and they grow in their faith and they realize Man, God's in control. And even you can go into someone who's lost, you can help them to realize, listen, your efforts, your control is not the one who's holding your life together. It's the one who, it's God who holds it together. God is God, you're not God. And so when we say that we went to God to bless us so we can make His name known, it's so that people can enjoy the fact that they understand that they're being delivered from judgment, and they're beginning to understand that when they've made a mess of their lives, because when you proclaim the gospel in this world, there are many people who've made a mess of their lives and they think, what's the point? Here's the good news. You can tell them that God still can save them, and He's still a sovereign God, and He still can use their lives for His good. Anybody made a life, had a mess in your life? Do you have to raise your hands? No, you don't have to raise your hands. God is good to be the one who leads us. You know this word right here that is in verse 4, for it says, and He guides the nations upon the earth, is the exact same word that is used in Psalm 23, verse 3 and 4. For those who have Him as the shepherd, it says He leads us by still waters. That is His guidance, taking care of us. Certainly we want to be blessed so that we, the nations can know Him, so the nations can have joy. What we're doing, let me give it to an illustration like this. People are following their own way is like this. Imagine, for illustrative purposes, someone has drawn a picture, a large canvas that would be up on this wall, of the sunrise, the beautiful grass, and a meadow. And they are enamored with their own picture. How beautiful is my picture? Don't you think the sun is great? Don't you love the meadows? But yet outside is the true sun. Outside is the true rays from the sun. Outside is the life. Outside, where the true sun is, where it makes the grass grow. Outside is where warmth comes. And we're looking at a picture. But that is lostness. People have painted their own picture of God in their lives, and they're saying, look at my picture, how good it is. And we're looking at it and we're saying, are you crazy? The sun is outside. The world that God made. It's amazing. And that's exactly what our job is to do. We are to go to proclaim the greatness and the glory of God to help them realize that their pictures pale or in comparison to the greatness of God. So your friends, your family that's painted a picture of their life and they think it's okay, their wealth, their money, their jobs, their accolades, whatever it is, you're coming in and you're proclaiming the way to say, let me tell you about the greatness and the glory of God. What's the last one here? Verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7 ends with the last prayer. The reason why we're praying for God to bless us is not just so that people will know Him. Not just so people will praise Him. Not just so people will enjoy Him. But so people will fear Him. Read verse 5 through 7 with me. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. He's restating what he has prayed in verse 3. Verse 6. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. Remember, what has He prayed in verse 1? God be gracious to us and bless us. And now what is He saying in verse 6? The Lord has blessed us. He's made the fields increase. He's made their crops good. How is that going to be good for the nations? So when the nations around them are in a famine, guess what they get to share? The goodness of God, His provision. They will be able to say that this is what God has done. And so then he says in verse 7, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. What does this mean? We're praying that God will bless us so that we can share it with the nation so they will fear Him. This is not fear in the aspect of being scared. This is fear in the aspect of revering a holy God. We just sang a song this morning. Holy, holy, holy. God Almighty. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. entity. We're singing about the greatness of the Holy God. When we understand that you and I are nothing without Him, it causes reverence in us. When we realize that I cannot save myself, it causes reverence and fear within me. When I realize that I do not exist, I don't have breath, I don't have the feet to be able to walk unless God is the one who gives it to me, it causes me to be fearful and reverent of Him. When I think that I am being self-sufficient and I think that I'm providing my own way, I am reminded that God is the one who makes the food come on my table, that God is the one who helps me pay my bills. I am reverently fearful that God is the one who provides it all. When I realize that He is the one who sustains me, He's the one who's kept me, He's the one who's been faithful to me, it makes me fear Him and revere Him. So when we're proclaiming the gospel to the world, we're helping them to see that they don't exist without God, they don't have salvation with God, they don't exist and have any kind of sustenance of their life unless God has blessed them. When you say that, when they say, my crops are growing, you say, God is the one in His good grace has made the sun to shine, made the rain to fall, given you strength to do it. It's God. All we're doing in the gospel is pointing to God over and over and over again so that their attention is away from self and it's towards God. You can't make this happen. I can't make people revere and fear an Almighty God. But when I proclaim the gospel, I want to do it in such a way that they see that we are worshiping, we are serving, we are bowing to an Almighty God who can rescue anyone from whatever mess we've made. If you believe that, then it's time to start speaking life to people. Let me ask you a question. Are you happy that this church is full? What would it be if it was full 3 or 4 or 5 times every week? Because people have heard the gospel. There's approximately 10,000 people that live in Lacombe alone. I am thankful for what God has done. And I believe that when we are faithful to go and give and share, not just on monthly outreach, but just in our weekly, daily living, God's going to bring a harvest far greater than we can imagine. Some of you sitting in this room are doing this. I thank God for you for going and sharing when those opportunities come. Some of you may have fear, nervous, worried about saying the wrong thing. Trust the Spirit of God to do the work through you. Trust those scriptures that you memorized. Trust that what He's done for you. And when you speak, you know what's going to happen? You're going to make a blunder sometimes. I know I have. But you know what's amazing is God takes the blunders and turns them into good. You know what the best thing to do is just laugh about it to yourself. You say, well, that didn't come out right. Let me try that again. Trusting that God is the one who can use robes of flesh like you and me to make a difference. Some of you not only are fearful, some of you may be saying, I'm not going to do it. And if that's the case, that's clear disobedience to the command that God has given us. We should be praying much like they prayed even in Acts 4. God, give us boldness to share. You know what that prayer followed? It followed them already being in prison for sharing. And so when they're praying for boldness, they're praying knowing that the reality may be a re-arrest. I pray that God would make us bold for the gospel. And my prayer is that people who are not even here yet will know God because of Redemption Family, will praise God because of the gospel to the Redemption Family, will enjoy God because of the gospel to the Redemption Family, and will fear God because the gospel has been shared through the Redemption Family. Where do you begin? It begins with you making sure your delight is in God. Is your delight in Him? I can't make that happen for you. That comes not by just conjuring it up in your mind. It comes by spending time with God and communing with Him and letting your delight grow. Secondly, what can you do? If you know people who are lost, begin to pray for them by name. Thirdly, step out in faith and share. And trust what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3. One sows, one plants, but God brings the increase. Let's pray that God will bring that increase. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Psalm 67. Your Word is good, and You are good. God, my prayer is for myself, for my family, and for this church, that our delight would be in You, genuinely and sincerely. Lord, we want, as Psalm 67:1 says, for You to bless us, to make Your face to shine upon us, so that we can make Your way and Your saving power known to all the nations. Father, I pray for Christians in this room who has a desire to share, but maybe have fearfulness, timidness. So God, I would pray that You today would give courage and boldness to every believer that's in this room. God, I pray that right now that You would also put people on our mind that's a family member, a neighbor, a co-worker, that are unbelievers, that You want us to begin to pray and intercede for, and that You want us to share the good news with them. So God, I pray for all of us, that not only would we pray for them, God, help us to take that step of faith and courage to begin to speak life, because as we learned, those people are not enjoying You, are not praising You, and don't know You. God, I pray that if there are any in this very room this morning who know about God, who knows about Jesus, but have yet to repent from their sin and believe in You for salvation, then God, today, in this very moment, then I pray, God, that they would call out to You, ask You to forgive their sins, place faith in You, to commit their life from this day forward, to be a follower of You. God, would You save children, adults, senior adults? God, be glorified. We long, Lord, for Your church, this church. God, we long for people in Lacombe and the North Shore to know You, praise You, enjoy You, and fear You, because we have been faithful to proclaim the glorious God to the people around us. So God, we're asking You to use us. And God, I pray for any in this room whose hearts have come into this building heavy, burdened with other things on their mind and their hearts. Lord, today, You are the one who is the sustainer. You are the one who can do all things. So I pray today, meet whatever needs need to be met today. Show Yourself strong in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's respond in faith, believing. Maybe as we sing this morning, you need to do these very things we've talked about. Think about the people that you need to pray for. Think about the people you need to share for. If you have a need, you need prayer, you come. Jared and I are available to pray with you. Let's sing this song as a commitment to our Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.